multiplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Surely the same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome. This is another episode of today's special, which you are listening to. And we're going to speak about Imam Hussein's virtues. So be with us. Dear brothers and sisters, today is Friday, is the first of the month of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Mordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of August, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter 3. Verse 7. Then we'll learn more about this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Huwallazi anzala 'alaykal kitaba minhu ayatun muhkamatun hunna ummul kitabi wa ukhra mutashabihat. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب.
It is He who has sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book. In it are verses that are precise. They are the foundation of the book, and others unspecific. As for those in whose hearts is deviation from truth, they will follow that of it which is unspecific, seeking discord and seeking an interpretation suitable to them. And no one knows its true interpretation except Allah. But those firm in knowledge say, "We believe in it. All of it is from our Lord." And no one will be reminded except those of understanding.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These verses are called allegorical verses. Some perverse persons trying to abuse these verses by commenting on them untruly in order to make mischief among people and deviate them from the right path. But Allah and those firmly rooted in knowledge know the secrets of these verses and explain them for people. Of course, those who are in the first line, from the point of knowledge, like the Prophet and the Immaculate Imams, know the whole secrets, while others may understand from them as much as the amount of their own knowledge. On the first of the month of Safar, we learn about Imam Hussein's virtues. The story of Imam Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him, stands as an inspiration to all, no matter what color or creed. Hussein, alayhi salam, laid the foundation of the revolution with his blood, and that revolution changed the world forever. Thus, this great Imam presented a movement to the entire humanity which was peerless and unprecedented throughout history and which will never be forgotten. This movement is a model. He showed self-sacrifice on such a large and grand scale for the sake of achieving the divine goal. This self-sacrifice means laying down one's life and the lives of one's most dear, the captivity of the family of the Holy Prophets under terrible and disastrous circumstances and enduring this difficult event so that Islam would be preserved and so that fighting against oppression would remain a principle in the history of Islam and humanity. This is an event which will be peerless forever.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this show, we are trying to talk about some of the virtues of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now, let's move to Imam's eloquence, abstinence, humility, and worship. This humility that, brothers and sisters, this humility that we are talking about is humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. what we technically call it khushu' and khudu'. In the book Manaqib, it is quoted through Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla that he says that one day we were sitting in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Imam Hussein al-Islam came and started jumping and playing on the back of the Prophet. The Prophet said, "Leave him alone." In the same book, it is quoted from Layth ibn Sa'd that one day the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the congregational prayers, Salat al-Jama'ah, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was sitting beside him. When the Prophet went into prostration or sajda, Hussein alayhi salam sat on his back. The Prophet brought him down with his hand and made him sit beside him and then stood up. Then again, when the Prophet went for the other prostration, this happened until he ended the prayers.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. He is the universalist. On his way to Iraq, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, received the news of the killing of Muslim ibn Aqil. Upon hearing the news, the Imam's eyes became filled with tears, reciting this Quranic verse from chapter 33, verse 23. Among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with Allah. Of them, some have completed their vow to the extreme, and some still wait, but they have never changed their determination in the least. The Imam wanted to prove to the people that he did not come for Kufa alone. So if that province fell to the enemy, it would not change anything. He did not launch his movement in response to the Kufa's appeal per se. Imam Hussein made it very clear that he saw himself responsible for discharging a more important duty, thus the Imam must continue treading the same path he had mapped out for his movement. As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Patience, patience, patience. That is one of the important virtues of Imam al-Hussein and his companions. Without moral virtues, we cannot achieve anything, and if we do, we cannot maintain it. Moreover, without patience, we cannot achieve the virtues of love, knowledge, and honor. If we do achieve them, they can easily be lost without patience. This is why patience is said to represent the head. If faith were the body, we cannot retain the quality of being a believer without patience. A believer is patient, and to such a person, Allah says that all problems can work as opportunities to earn credit for the hereafter. For example, if you have a disease such as cancer and you remain patient, Allah rewards you. Although you did not get ill for the sake of Allah, He rewards you because of your patience.
When you you cry, realize that you're participating in a universal event. Don't underestimate the power of your tears. The Imam alayhi salam, in one hadith, he tells us, on the day of judgment, every eye shall be crying except the eye that cried for Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow these eyes to cry. Because by doing so, by crying, you are paying your respect to Fatima alayhi salam. You are paying your respect to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give those eyes peace and security. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deliver the joy and the happiness to the hearts of those mu'mineen who cried for Abi Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi. And the hadith goes on to tell us that on the day of judgment, those who cried on the Imam alayhi salam, Allah will give them one amazing honor, that they shall go and sit beneath the throne of God, and they will listen to al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam speaking to them. Then the angels will call on them, now it's time, go to paradise, go to your levels. They will not heed, they will not listen, the hadith says, from al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. The Hur al-Ain will come and invite them, come, we have missed you. They will not pay attention to them. They will say, we are busy listening to the beautiful words of al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Yes, our tears need to be coupled with actions, there's no doubt about that. To give value to your tears, you have to practice the teachings of the Imam alayhi salam, but never underestimate the power of your tears. Never underestimate the act of crying on the Imam alayhi salam. Before the battle of Karbala, 57 years before the battle, the Prophet, peace be upon him, according to our Sunni brothers in their books, the Prophet cried 12 times publicly. If the Prophet, peace be upon him, cries on the Imam alayhi salam, why shouldn't we cry on the Imam alayhi salam? We are following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when we cry for the tragedy of his beloved grandson.
With this nice sentence, we say goodbye and fi amanillah to all of you. Inshallah, we continue this nice topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. Food for thought.
Salam friends. Today is the tragic first of the month of Safar, the day when survivors of the massacre of the Prophet's progeny at Karbala were unjustly dragged to the court of the tyrant Yazid in Damascus. Let us contemplate today on the words of the Prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, when she boldly told the tyrant Yazid about the illegitimacy of his rule. Those who have helped you to become the head of the Muslim state have done a big disservice to Islam and will soon know what awaits them.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Oh.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about why it is wrong for us to sever relations from our brothers in faith. You know, as you know, cutting one's relation off from one's relatives is one of the grave sins. And like, for example, if you have some relatives, your father, your mother, even your brother, your uncles, your cousins, these are all blood relations. It could also be relatives through marriage, through law, cutting one's relation off from these kind of people is a grave sin. And we all know this. This is something we all know. But also, cutting off relations with one's brothers in faith, any meaning with one's friends, this is also one of the sins, and we have been prohibited from doing so. If you have friends, right, it's not good to just all of a sudden cut, your relations off with them. Let's look at this beautiful hadith and let's see what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says about this. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "A man who places his amity in the wrong place is bound to suffer abandonment." And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "How awful it is to cut off relations after having maintained them, to turn away after brotherhood, and to have animosity after amity." This is all there's something very prohibited and very wrong to do. Well, let's say that, your friend or your brother or whoever it is, he does something to harm you. He does something bad to you. He tries to hurt you or whatever. And, it's not, in your best interest to continue your friendship with such a person. Can you completely cut off your friendship from him? Imam Ali alayhi salam alludes to the answer to this question where he says, "If you want to cut off relations with your brother, make sure to leave a place for him in your heart so he could return to it one day if he so wishes." Meaning, if you want to break relations with somebody, for some reason, perhaps it's not in your best interest from a worldly or a spiritual point of view, you should always leave a door open. Perhaps if, things get better and, circumstances change and you want to reestablish, friendship with him, it's still possible to do so, right? Maybe not, completely sever your ties with the person, perhaps at a certain date, a certain later on, in a certain time, if circumstances change, you can, recontact with the person, and leave where you left off. Perhaps it's for this reason that with respect to maintaining brotherhood and friendship, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, "The best person is the one who maintains relations with the one who cuts him off." And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Do not let your brother be stronger in his avoidance of you than you are in maintaining relations with him. And do not be stronger in your harm to him than in your kindness towards him." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at cutting off relations with one's friends and brothers, in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم Brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions and practical tajweed rules, step by step, verse by verse. Inshallah, we're here with you. And I really welcome you all. Thanks for joining IRIB English Radio. Fawad Haider Salam, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, welcome, brothers. Is everyone fine?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, let's go and start our class. Inshallah, today, the same as yesterday, inshallah, we'll talk about two verses of Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 96 and Ayah 97 on page 62. So everybody, let's once listen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين
Amazing recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. Now, we'll mention some important points about these two verses and then we'll move on, okay? Today, important tajweed rules. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 96, Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nasi lal-ladhi bi-bakkata mubaraka wa hudan lil-alamin. Next ayah. Fihi ayatun bayyinatun maqamu Ibrahim. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ Right? That's how you read it. Now, listen. Inna awwala baytin, indeed the first house, okay, wudi'a lin-nas, to be set up for mankind, lalladhi bi-bakka, is the one at Bakka. Mubarakan, this is a blessed house, wa hudan lil-alamin, and is a guidance for all nations. All right? And then in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, Fihi, in this house, in it, Ayatun bayyinat, manifest signs. There are manifest signs. Maqam Ibrahim, and also Abraham's station, a place where Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing to do the prayers.
وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ And whoever enters this house, كَانَ آمِنَ Shall be secure, safe, and sound. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ And it is the duty of mankind, okay? It means it is wajib, mandatory upon humankind toward Allah, حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, okay? To make the pilgrimage to this house, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ For those people who can afford the journey to it, إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلَ, okay? وَمَنْ كَفَرَ And if anyone, should anyone renege on his obligation, okay, if he does not do, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ Guys, this, the first one, the first ayah talks about the Mecca, okay? Mecca is that holy mosque in the city of Mecca, okay? That place, the house of Allah, you see? Yeah? Baytullah Sharif. So that part, the Mecca, the Mecca, or the, that masjid, the people do the prayers there. It's called Mecca. And a lot of people say it's, we call it the house of Allah, Baytullah, yes? But Allah says, In awwal baytin wudha lillah or linnas.
Linnas.
For the people. So this house is basically built for the people. My nephew had a very nice question here. He was asking his dad, Dad, so this is called the house of Allah. Okay? So Allah, how kind of Allah is he? Like he never goes to his house. Like his lights are on. The water people use. What about the expenses? Who pays the expenses? Allah doesn't go there any time. Where is he? Why is he not going to his house? It was a kid, okay? I was asking this question. It was so funny. It was amazing. So Allah Almighty says, it's built for the people, okay? So it's a center of worship, a center of prayer, okay? This is the time. This is the house that Prophet Adam alayhi salam built. From the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, it was built, okay? And during the, during the history, because of the flood and these things, okay? Disasters, so it was destroyed. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam raised it with Prophet Ismail. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ Yes?
Yes.
So Prophet Ibrahim did so. So, guys, this is a place to worship. And in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says a lot of things about this ayah, goodnesses about this house, I mean. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ Manifest signs. And also مَقَامُ Ibrahim. Talks about the history of the Prophet, where Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing to do the prayers. And وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنَ It's a secure place, okay? It's a very secure place.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
Now we got some minutes to mention some important tajweed rules and we'll move on inshallah. Inna nun mushaddad. Right? The first thing. Pay attention. Yeah. Inna. A nasal sound. I'll also prolong it for two counts. Awwala. Make sure waw is not pronounced as V in English. Awwala. No. Inna awwala. Baytin. Baytin. Tanween plus waw. For what says it is?
إدغام
بيتي وضع للناس The pronunciation of ضاد همزة ها عين حا Yes قاف خا غين طا These are important that you must pay attention to them So للناس again نون مشدد للذي ببكة Mubarakaw again, the same as Bayti Wudha, yes? Mubarakaw Idgham. With Gunna, right, Ali Nasir? And also two counts.
Yeah,
stretch it for two counts, for two beats. Mubarakaw Hudan lil alameen. It's just an Idgham. Hudal. There is no nasal sound. Hudan. No way. هُدَلْ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That's it. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ. Ah, do you see that baby meme?
Yeah.
With that?
Yes.
Yeah. That says
the
Tanwin Noon, the Noon sound is changed to Hussein. A hidden
meme
sound. Meme sound. آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ تُمْ. This is meme, yes? You join Tanwin to meme. إِدْغَام. تُمْ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيم.
قَلْقَلْ.
Yeah, bounce that sound. Echo that sound. مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيم. Sila tells you Hassan.
It's better to continue.
It's better to continue. Qila in the next station says?
It's better to stop.
Better to stop. Good job. Good job. Thank you. فِيهَا آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ حَسَنٌ حُسَيْنٌ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ مَنْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus دَال
rest of
إخفاء. Yeah, it's amongst the rest of the letters. Good job. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ who there is a rule called إِشْبَاعُ الضَّمِيرِ إِشْبَاعُ الضَّمِيرِ okay ضَمِيرِ هَا هَا look هَا who there's a baby wow.
Yeah.
Yes. This is an important for recitals. It's very important to pay attention. Okay. دَخَلَهُ كَانَ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Do not recite it. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. إشباع. Okay. Make it stretch it. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Two counts. وَمَنْ read it with me. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا.
وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا.
أحسن. إشباع الضمير. ما شاء الله. إشباع الضمير. Yeah, good job. وَلِلَّهِ لَام in the word Allah with an A sound. There is a kasra. Light sound.
على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا طاعة.
It means like من استطاع, the one who can afford. Now طاع has a heavy sound. ومن كفر, that's also an إخفاء. ومن كفر فإن الله غني. إظهار. Do not merge or change or hide the sound of Tanwin here. غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That's all. Let's once read, okay, recite these two verses with Tajweed, inshallah.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا
حج البيت good job. Okay. Next time inshallah when you recite fix it.
ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين
ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, mashallah. Allah bless you. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, we explained a bit about this ayah. And then we mentioned the important tajweed rules. We practiced the recitation. That's all from us for today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. Brothers here, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. And inshallah, we'll be here again with you. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers from all around the world, from every single corner of this world. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Well, this is IRIB English Radio, and I'm Asma as your host. Once more, I have the pleasure to be here with Brother Mustafa and Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Walaikum assalam.
Oh, well, I'd like it if you introduce yourself briefly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. So my name is Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, teacher, student, seeker, preacher of Islamic knowledge in general.
Yeah. And you, Brother Mustafa?
My name is Sayyid Mustafa. I am a student here and I'm studying psychology here in Qom.
Well, very good. Right now, at the age that we're living, there are some concepts that I look at them as the sort of keys that have been lost. One of them is politeness. When I see how the youngsters would treat the elder ones, I just feel so disappointed because I would think, of course, of the day that I'm going to be considered as an old woman, then I can't imagine then how would my niece treat me? And then that really bugs me to see her to be so headless toward the behaviors she's going to have with me. Can you please define politeness?
Sure. I think, and the word that we have in, I believe it's in Arabic, is adab. I don't think that quite translates as politeness. It can translate as politeness. It can translate as mannerisms. It can translate as a way of doing things, right?
Manners is a better.
Yeah. And adab, I think, for me, it's the way of doing anything. For example, if I'm writing, the adab of writing is to make it as beautiful as possible.
Exactly.
So that's what adab does. It makes an action even more better or more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's lost in today's culture, in today's TikTok culture, where everything is about 5 seconds and it's about offending people or insulting. I mean, a lot of the patience that comes with learning things the proper way, it's lost, right? People just want shortcuts. They just want instant results. Whereas adab says, hey, you need patience. You need to learn things the best way to do them. And that's really important. Another point which I think we talked about earlier was in different cultures, it can be different as well. So we have to be aware that sometimes things don't always translate in the same way. I remember when I came to Iran, one thing that's different here is that they really hate burping, right? If you were to burp in public here, it's like you're, you know, people get really offended. Whereas in Pakistan, it's pretty normal. It's considered natural. It's even considered almost a positive thing to burp after certain meals in certain places. So certain things can translate in different places.
When it comes to adab, it's a big topic that's you can hardly pinpoint to a geographical location or a culture. Having said that, there are principles that we need to maintain when we deal with one another in terms of physical contact and verbal contact. So there are certain principles that all humanity agree on wherever you go, that you need to maintain the certain etiquettes and certain behaviors that you need to have when you deal with your fellow human being. And you have to deal with him in a manner where you're not upsetting him physically or verbally. You can put, you know, adab or morals or values around that context. But having said that, like maintaining the principles and the details, like they say, the devil, the details. The details will differ. The details will, from culture to culture, would obviously differ. So it's really hard to say this is the adab, this is the adequate, or this is the morals.
To give it an exact definition.
Like I said, I can give you a definition from what? From an Islamic perspective, from like the Arabic cultural perspective, from whose perspective?
Let's go for it from Islamic perspective.
Yeah, so from Islamic perspective, is adab is when you are maintaining your akhlaq, maintaining your chastity, maintaining your haya, maintaining a number of things. You put them together that constitute adab, because adab is not just a mufrada by itself. It's not just a concept by itself. It's made up from different concepts. So when Allah says to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you have the highest morality or possess the highest level of morality. There are a number of things. The way he talks to people, the way people trust him.
His manners.
Yeah, so manners itself is a number of things. So there are hundreds of things that you need to have in order for you to become
My understanding of adab was that it's whatever makes that action more complete or more better or beautiful. That was my definition of adab. Is that correct?
It's correct. Like you said, the example that you gave, this might be correct if you addressing a certain country, a certain culture, but it will change then.
No, what I was saying, it could be anything. It could be just, you know, talking, it could be writing, it could be performing, anything, but it comes with its own principles. And when you apply those principles, it makes that action better.
More about what you say or what you do.
Yeah.
I guess.
So, without having to, because we have a whole science called akhlaq, right? That we deal with. Akhlaq is basically adab. Once you obtain all these, and you become a good person. Then this is how I see it. Being a person of adab is meaning that when you talk to a person, you observe their situation, like physically and mentally, and care about them. So I talk to you, I'm always on my guard, making sure I don't say anything that offends you or do something that offends you. And this is basically what adab is, in my perspective. Yeah. I have to make sure that you're constantly happy as long as you're in my presence. You know, I'm not harming you, not physically. Or like, for example, burping, right?
Yeah.
I can burp. It could be good and, you know, no one cares about it. But then I said, well, would he like it? Would she like it if I do it in front of them? Regardless of, like, maybe, maybe not. So since it's a maybe, let me hold it back.
Yeah, so to care more and to think more about what you do.
Be more caring and being more conscious of this, of the person in front of you.
Yeah.
This is how I
still, I guess, if we ask the audience about the definition, every single person is going to give their own perspective and their own definition. thinking of adab, or the manners, or whatever thing that would come into your mind as we talk about adab, that is, well, literally, it comes as politeness, but as Brother Abdullah and as Brother Mustafa mentioned it, it's going to be a combination of many things together. So speaking of it, of this mannerism, we come to the story of Karbala. So why is it that when everybody talks about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, they come to say, okay, he was the master of mannerism. He was the paragon of mannerism.
Yeah. I think what we see in Karbala is the most extreme situation that anyone can be in, right? They were fighting for their lives. Mm-hmm. They were thirsty. They were hungry. But beside those extreme conditions, we see that their behavior and their mannerisms were exemplary. That to this day, we remember it, we learn it, we tell our kids, you know, you need to be like that. You need to be like mm-hmm. Hussein. You need to be... So I think that's why it becomes so important, that they were in such extreme conditions, yet, despite that, they had the most perfect character.
Exactly.
I mean, you could be in a very easy condition. You could be, you know, in the Himalayas and sitting in the jungle and have good character. You could be a monk, right? But that's not as valuable as someone who's almost about to die in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Being a monk in that situation, I think, is something we can learn from.
I'm an extremely emotional person, especially when it comes to the Ahl Bayt. So I try to avoid answering any question, because then there will be a lot of stops. Because I'm, like, you know, my emotions take the best of me. The Ahl Bayt salamullah alayhim in general, or the even through the Karbala, the Ahl Bayt, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Abu al-Fadl Abbas, Ali al-Akbar, all the companions, they always maintain their akhlaq, because obviously, beside the fact it's an Islamic duty, it's their manner. This is how they are. This is how they've been raised. Having said that, we have to be very careful that the Ahl Bayt salamullah alayhim would deal with individuals based on how they approach the Ahl Bayt. So sometimes, for example, when a Shimr came to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and he gave him the letter that said to him, "You're safe," Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, he wasn't polite to him. He was like, "La'anaka Allah wa la'ana amirak." May Allah curse you on your, you know, it's like he was, that's right. Not politeness.
But you would say he didn't like swear at it.
Yeah, no. So right. He didn't swear, but so I'm saying politeness in the sense of, I was like, okay, you know what? Thank you very much for your offer, but I'm not interested.
Hmm.
No. He took a different approach. When the guy, he said to Imam Hussein, "Look, what? You hurried the fire? You want to go to?" I'm like, "No, may Allah kill you. May Allah make you die thirsty." So depending on the situation and the person that you deal with, you have to change as well. So you don't, you know, when someone is being nice to you, being nice to them. But someone is rude to you, right, or someone is being
offensive. What's that verse in the Quran about being compassionate among believers and being hard towards this?
Yeah, ar-ruhama'a bainahum. Right. Like they, so when it comes to the mu'min, ar-ruhama'a bainahum, ashidda 'ala al-kuffar. When it comes to the kuffar, you have to use...
They're merciful toward each other.
Yeah, and you have to use strength when you're dealing with the enemy. So it depends on how you deal with me. So Abu al-Fadl Abbas, salamullah alayhi, for example, when it comes to Imam Hussein, when it comes to the family, he showed the most of mercy and compassion and akhlaq. Yeah. When it came to his enemies, he showed different.
But I would say even to the enemies, I agree with your point, but when we're talking adab, we're talking about how to do things.
No,
even,
but he maintained the adab.
But I'm saying even in war, they maintained their adab, right?
Yeah,
even when they were killing people, there were certain rules. They weren't killing, like Islam has, like, for example, adab for war. You're not allowed to, like, burn trees.
So
you're
there's adab for war that you would use.
So there's always adab behind it.
Yeah, of course. So they, like I said, so when he cursed Shimr, he could have, you know, cursed his mom or his dad. Or
they're always staying within the rules. Yeah, within the rules.
But obviously the rules themselves, like, they differ from, like, when you're in a war, it's different one than you are in normal circumstances.
Exactly. So now there's still one more point, but I'd like to go for a short break. And then after that, we do the wrap-up.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
This is Back to Reality. Brother Mustafa and Brother Abdullah are talking to us about mannerism. Well, we went through the story of Karbala. We talked about the mannerism of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and we said that mannerism is actually a combination of many things, but we could just say the gist and put it this way, that it's caring too much about what we do and what we say in order not to make anyone bothered from us. So now, the thing that we would wrap the story with it up is the fact that why this fact is lost in today's life.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily lost in today's life. Maybe
at least not that important.
I think the focus
has
been taken off of it, right?
Yeah.
What I mean is, from my understanding of what adab is, like I defined earlier, is things which beautify that action, which things that make better. We're focusing on making the wrong things better, I would say, right? Whereas if we were to come back to the real values, to real manners, what we realize is this is what we really need. But one thing I want to add, you, the very first thing you mentioned something about kids, about not being respectful. One thing as a student of psychology, I'm realizing that we need to learn about kids and their needs, right? Sometimes we're judging kids from our point of view about how we were with our parents.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to know is the kids' needs. And that's also part of mannerisms, is knowing what the person in front of you, what is their needs?
Because we're going
to
teach them with our own behavior.
Right,
so even if you look at literature or the movies or everything that has been created by the artist, then you would see that the classicals were more of mannerist people. They were for manners more than now.
Look, the one thing you got to keep in mind, I think the brother touched upon, is that the moral values themselves are changing. What we perceive to back in the day to be moral and polite.
So we should be more caring, and that's what Allah wants us to do. And yes, thank you for staying with us. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabb. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very interesting question. And that question is related to humanity and what it is that constitutes a true human being. What is the criteria of humanity? Who can we call a true human being or a person? This question is kind of related to a verity that has been related in certain hadith and even in the Holy Quran.